Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. You hear me on the radio all the time, but I'm more than just the voice of the company. I'm in the middle of the office with everybody else, helping them to knock out the competition. If your current rate is not in the twos, apply online at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Great selection from Doug's iPod. I don't have an iPod. I never could figure out how to work it. Chris Denman. That's me. Joined by my co-host on We Are Live, Travis Terrell.
Morrow!
Doug Vaughn's been given $9 an hour and cabinet privileges to hang out with us and babysit.
Cabinet privileges? I can store things in one of the cabinets?
Like you get a snack if you want while you're watching us.
I don't have a snack.
Yeah. Babysitting us. Doug Vaughn, Travis Terrell, Chris Denman, we're here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. What is happening? We had a huge 7 o'clock hour.
Yeah,
if you missed
we did.
It, you can go back and podcast like the...
Like the Dickens.
Okay, thanks, Doug. A lot going on today. There was some audio, I believe, Plowsy. Our friend Silent Stan, not so silent anymore. Why L.A. so important to the NFL? Can we hear that, guys?
Los Angeles is so important for the NFL because it's sort of, you can, some people call it gateway to South America. Some people certainly call it gateway to Asia. But it's extremely important if growth is going to occur like most people see it occurring in the coming years.
Put him down!
He's extremely important that way.
Put him down! I cannot listen to Stan Kroenke. Who in the hell has ever called Los Angeles the gateway to
South America?
Do we really need South American fans to make the NFL go?
How are we in Chile?
How rich are you? You can just make up sayings. L.A., as everyone knows, is the gateway to South America. Hello.
If we don't start to get some fans from Uruguay up in here, the league is not going to make it.
We're doomed.
No, we need more Peruvian fans. That's what this country's missing. Mm-hmm. More Peruvian football fans.
Not enough alpacas outside of the stadium. Where are they from? Peru? Alpacas? That's a big hotbed for alpacas.
I got to get Stan Kroenke rich. That's how rich I have to get, where you can literally say anything. And just everyone around you just go, yeah, sure, okay, I guess. That makes sense.
Need to start selling more jerseys to some of those Stone Age people living in the Amazon rainforest.
Ayahuasca and a Rams jersey. That's the new special. So out of touch, right? Just doesn't get it.
I don't think he cares that you.
It doesn't matter to him.
It doesn't matter to him.
It may have been a roundabout way of saying this is why we had to leave St. Louis.
It could have been. There's a lot of gateway to London is what it's been called.
He had to do this for South America.
Wow.
And Asia.
And again, this is like Stan Kroenke's 19th press conference since moving to L.A. Had a total of 4 when he took over as majority owner.
Who's an L.A. reporter? Bill Plaschke, is he from L.A.?
Yeah.
Hello, Bill Plaschke.
Supposedly, the Coliseum is just absolutely falling apart. They got 3 years they got to play there, and it's falling apart.
They dogged the Dome on how trash it was and disgusting it was, so they moved to a new stadium that's in even worse condition.
Mm-hmm. I got a kick out of Kevin Green yesterday. Did you see that, where he's going into the Hall of Fame next month? Played the first 8 years of his career with the Rams.
That's right.
Big years.
Oh, yeah.
Played like most of the bit of his career with Pittsburgh, 3 years.
Right.
And he said he'll have his Hall of Fame ring in Pittsburgh because he liked it there so much more than with the Rams.
I definitely talked over this part, 314, letting us know he also called it the gateway to Asia.
L.A., the gateway to Asia.
He said the gateway to Asia?
That's right under the Hollywood sign, actually.
Does he know how gateways work?
I don't think so. He's not as familiar with gates as Doug.
There is no gateway to Asia. If there's a gateway to Asia, it would be up there at the Bering Strait in Alaska. You can almost get over there to Russia, and then you can at least get to Asia.
The Pacific Ocean's the gateway to Asia? Has to be more of a honed-in area, right?
Has Stan seen a map recently?
The gateway to Asia.
He's trying to just basically rip off all gateway talk from St. Louis. So
maybe that was
Los Angeles.
Maybe that was the troll move.
Mm-hmm.
That was the troll move. Maybe just mentioning gateway, he knew it was going to get our blood boiling.
It does. Butch McGuire says he gives him the willies. I don't know. What do you want to do? You want to get into the Lakeside Roofing exit poll, Doug?
Okay, sure.
It's your favorite part of the week.
Well, the people I've spoken to just cannot believe the exit poll.
This is the Lakeside Roofing exit poll.
Just like any other poll, it has its range of error one way and the other.
Family owned for 40 years, lakesideroofing.com.
If this exit poll is right, I will publicly eat my hat.
I like that.
Well, the Lakeside Roofing exit poll, we've got a bevy of questions, Doug.
Okay. You don't need to say bevy, but okay.
Ready for this, guys?
Yes.
To start, best and or worst place to take a first date. Douglas, your thoughts?
I'd say the best place is probably somewhere where you can go and actually talk and get to know them a little better. Quiet restaurant or something.
A hotel south of Lima?
Well, once you want to get to know them before you go to the hotel south of Lima.
Gotcha.
That'd be what I would think is a restaurant-like setting where you could talk and get to know them a little bit, as opposed to a really loud club or someplace where you're screaming at each other, you can't hear each other.
Not your usual Thursday night spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'd say that the best would be a quiet place to get to know them. The worst would be a really loud place where you can't talk. And even you think a movie. Because then you don't have to keep the conversation going all the time. You can just sit there if it doesn't work real well. But then you don't really get to know them very well.
It's true.
Unless you're Netflixing and chilling. You know what that is, Doug? Netflixing and chilling.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You're watching a movie at home and on the couch.
And then having the sex.
But that's not really a place to take someone on a first date. That's staying home.
You can find out a lot about her right away.
Boy, that makes it so easy.
It says to take a first date. Okay.
I say the gun range.
Okay.
That's the best?
Yeah.
Why?
Exhilarating, get your blood flowing.
I guess whenever you're hunting down in Arnold, you have to kind of get into what they're into. Maybe that's like, hey, I got this Toby Keith CD.
And that's shooting.
Let's go gun range. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're kind of being hard on Arnold. Maybe out to Troy.
There we go. There we go. More specifically.
Yeah.
And then I think the worst would be a family reunion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be bad.
No, to take your first date to a family.
No. Not unless you have decided already you want to marry this one. This is it.
Prearranged.
If I could get this one to say yes, I'm going to do it right now.
Dad, you should see the dowry on this one.
If you survive, though, a family reunion, you think she's a good one, right? She's a keeper.
Did you ever have a date like that? First date, you're thinking this is the one I want to marry.
I had a girl take me to her family reunion. First date.
How'd it go for you?
No.
You didn't care for the family, did you?
I Ubered my ass out of there.
Did she right in the middle of it?
No, yeah. I didn't know. I snuck out. I didn't know.
With her?
No, I left her.
And that was the end of the day?
That was it.
Just because you didn't like her family?
I didn't know her family. I didn't care to know them. I don't want that. That's too much pressure right away.
So you didn't say anything?
I just slipped away. Well, I made a plate. I made sure I made a plate. Sure. I got me some. Not an idiot. I'm going to get something to eat. I made a plate.
Who's that guy putting food in Ziploc bags?
But I'm with Victoria. Don't mind me.
That's kind of a rude way to leave a date.
Well, it's a rude way to take me to a family reunion on the first date.
I worked with a guy named Jeff Skaversky a few years ago at Channel 4. I don't know if you remember him. He had a date, and they started at a restaurant like 30 miles out of town. It wasn't St. Louis. It's when he lived like in the Syracuse area. Somehow, they were at a restaurant like 30 miles out of town. He decided he really didn't like her at all during the meal. So he said, excuse me, I have to use the restroom.
Oh, no.
So he went and got in his car and drove home. He just left her there. Is that the worst thing you've ever heard?
Can't put enough lipstick on that pig, huh?
He just simply left her.
This is before Uber.
I'm sure it was, yeah. I mean, do you not have a soul?
You know what?
You couldn't stomach taking the girl back home at least and just say, this is not going to work out. See ya.
Some old boy at the bar that night capitalized.
I would hope.
She drowned her sorrows.
I would hope.
And to this day, they're still together. That's how I choose to answer that. Not like she cried herself stupid.
I feel sorry for the girl. I never met her.
A spiral of depression.
Now she has
been on government assistance for 17 years.
Probably.
Now she has to grab the waiter. Mm-hmm. Can you go check the bathroom?
Where is he? And he left her with the bill.
Oh.
How badly did you hate this woman? That is
just awful.
Oh, man.
Let's cleanse our palate. JC in South Webster. Last first date, paddle boating in Forest Park, then walked to the zoo.
Aww.
It went over well. Oh, that's a good St. Louis date.
Yeah.
It banged her out.
Okay, okay.
No.
You probably have to go to Ted Drew's after that. If you've been to the zoo, well, let's go gain 5 pounds.
Right when I got back from Kansas City, I may have went a little crazy on the dating apps, but I would always see people say, take me to the City Museum. I feel like that's the go-to spot for just a random, like, oh, I'm fun and quirky. Check me out.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think of
it. Not that it isn't. It is quite fun, and it's. I'm glad we have it. But
I think that's trying too hard. Yeah. Come on.
I think more, man. What's the go-to, Trav?
The go-to.
What's the ace in the hole?
When all those
wine bar with a little live jazz.
Good little winery action. Drive down to Herman and just have a little winery.
Oh, winery. If you go to a winery like down where I'm from and you turn it into a day drinking thing, you might see some shades of your date you don't really want to see.
Well, you find out right away.
She'll be
that's
telling
the important
you you're
thing.
Exactly like her father by 4 p.m. because you've been drinking for like 6 hours or so at that point.
That's the problem with the wineries. You got to get home somehow.
Transportation is usually provided with
it is?
Yeah.
If you take drive a bus, to Herman, they're not going to bring you back.
You stay at a hotel or something, right?
They got big hotels in the Herman.
Bag it out, right, Chris?
Trav, you're really pushing that hard today, and that's no pun intended. The Lakeside roof exit poll. Is it acceptable to remain friends with an ex on Facebook?
Absolutely not.
Travis, your thoughts?
That's the dumbest thing ever. Why the hell would you do that? Why would you remain friends with your ex anyway? And then, no, that's stupid.
There's a style to this because you don't want to just go, meh, we're not friends anymore. Then you might get back together. Then you have to re-add.
No, you don't have to do all that. Just un-add, and then if you guys get back together, then...
Depends on how serious it was. If you just kind of hooked up, I don't care.
Why couldn't you remain friends with an ex? Not just on Facebook, but anywhere
else.
Here's
what she's going to do. She is going to head to Wheelhouse, and then she's going to take every possible selfie with every guy in that bar and post it because she knows you're still friends with her on Facebook. Because a woman scorn in the social media era is just...
Doug, are we getting a little look inside of his psyche right now?
It sounds like maybe we touched a raw nerve.
Well, no. I don't. No. No, don't. Why would you remain friends with Doug, are you still friends with your ex?
I don't really have many exes, no. No.
Boy, if I could create a Facebook group. Wait,
it's all different now than it was in my day with the social media. It's completely different. I think it's a whole lot easier to meet people now without the fear of rejection.
It used
to be if you wanted to meet a girl that you didn't know, you'd have to just go right up and start talking to them. Heaven forbid you do that.
I don't have time for that.
Go to a bar or parties. That's where you met them. And then they always had the opportunity to say, no, I don't want to dance with you. No, I don't want to talk. And it was, oh, God, you look like an idiot in front of your friends and everything. But now with social media, you can just say hi to somebody, and if they don't like you, oh, well, you just move on to the next one. You don't face that face-to-face rejection.
People are getting laid off of LinkedIn, even. A business social networking site.
No.
It's not difficult to meet people, for sure. That's a great point,
Doug.
It's not healthy to remain friends with your ex on social media. It's just not healthy.
It depends on how serious you were. If you lived with them for a long time and you were whatever, or you were married, that's kind of weird, I think. But, yeah, if you just dated, who cares? It didn't really mean anything anyway.
I guess. I have feelings.
A little look into my psyche.
I'm just saying, like,
yeah, I don't really give a damn.
Tell us more, Chris.
Some girl hurts your feelings, didn't she?
Man, did she ever.
Is this the one that took you to the family reunion and you bolted without even saying goodbye?
No, not her. If I ever see her again, I'm going to throw apples at her. But, no, this one was someone.
Apples.
This is a lady, because she had a horse face. That's a different.
Quit picking my apples. Remember that in Wizard of Oz? Quit picking my apples. I was watching that this morning.
Oh, man.
Timely reference.
I watch the Wizard of Oz all the time.
Quit picking my apples.
It's on Netflix. Yeah.
Real quick before we go on to the next one, one from Ashkesh. Love hearing you guys in the morning, especially with the greatest. Doug.
Aww.
We have a Doug lemming.
Oh,
and I believe.
I think I have a lemming.
Ashley's quite attractive.
Is she?
That's what I hear.
How would you know?
Came up to me at an event I was doing at Helium a week or two ago.
Helium?
Helium Comedy Club. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. What else we got today? What is your favorite old school Nintendo game? Great question for Doug.
I don't know if it was Nintendo or another game system, actually. I didn't play a lot of them. was Asteroids Nintendo?
Ooh, that's a good one. Yes, it was. I think
was
that was one of the first.
Was it?
I think that
pre-Nintendo.
Was
probably. That was really early on.
They may have adapted it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and they first came out, I think, in like the early 80s is when the video games really started. And it was Pac-Man and Asteroids and Donkey Kong.
Uh-huh.
The first one was Pong in the late 70s.
It's pretty difficult.
It really started bleak, and then it goes across the screen. Then you move bleak, and then it comes back. And if you're really fancy, you go bleak, bleak, ooh. And, you know, it bounced a couple times. But that was so primitive, it wasn't a whole lot of fun. So I would have to say Asteroids, if it was a Nintendo game.
Travis Terrell.
Chris, no, I'm not still friends with my ex on Facebook. I'm not. I don't.
Talking about Nintendo games.
Oh, Duck Hunt. Yes, Duck Hunt. That's what it is. Duck Hunt. I am
Did you have
Duck
Hunt. Did you have the trackpad?
I did.
That was great.
That actually, when my mom got that, I was like, I thought we were rich.
Yeah.
I was like, we got the pad and everything. And
that was cool. You literally had to run to make it run. It's about...
It was like the original Wii. So you physically had to do stuff so the thing on the screen would actually do it for you. But I was a big Duck Hunt because of the dog.
Wii isn't very big anymore, is it?
No, kids
that
don't
was
care
huge
for it anymore.
But yeah, seven or eight years
ago. Yeah, it was very big, especially among the sorority girls. They love that.
Yeah, it was like 2006, 7,
yeah,
something like that.
Very big thing.
Drunken or nude Wii was a big thing.
Very big
in Columbia at the time. You were into that, Doug?
I wasn't. Well, one of my kids was. And there was a Christmas there where you had to have Wii, where everybody stood in line to buy Wii. Ladies were beating each other over the head because someone got the last Wii game. I remember that.
People getting their hair pulled out over Wii.
Oh,
yeah. What about this? Who is the most entertaining athlete turned actor? I ask you, Doug.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, I guess the Rock would be the current one.
Yeah?
You're going to call it, football at Miami. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
I guess you could call him an athlete just because it's rigged. I think that he's still athletic.
Again, an athlete with a great prescribing doctor. I'll say that.
For old school, I would say Chuck Connors.
Okay.
You remember Chuck Connors?
That was going to be Travis's, but go ahead.
The Rifleman. He's given credit for inventing the slam dunk.
Really?
He played for the Chicago Cubs, and he played in the NBA, given credit for being the first one to slam dunk a basketball. And then
that's
he went
serious.
On to a good career as an actor, starring as the Rifleman.
Okay. I'm all right with that. Travis?
I was thinking Shaq.
Pretty damn good.
Several Adam Sandler movies Shaq has been in.
Well, we don't need to highlight those, but go ahead.
Because I remember Blue Chips. Who's the guy who played Hunter on the TV show?
Fred Dreyer.
There you go, Fred Dreyer.
Fred Dreyer's serious.
Yeah, L.A. Ram, in fact, right?
Mm, yeah, hell yeah.
How about
number 89 defensive end?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've got an answer.
Who'd you get?
O.J. Simpson with a close second.
Yeah?
I'm going to go Burt Reynolds, number one.
Well, he was a college athlete.
What was The Rock?
That. Well, The Rock was at least a professional wrestler.
He was. And don't you do it on this show. Don't you do it, Chris Denman. Don't you dare. You already know
the
following.
Is that what we're doing?
Don't you do it.
Howie Long, then. Get out of here.
Howie Long?
Been in movies.
But is he an actor?
Sure.
What's he been in?
Oh, Machine Gun Force.
I think you just made that up. I think you're a liar and shouldn't lie to the audience. It was that one movie with Christian Slater and John Travolta, and they were trying to... Broken Arrow. Howie Long was in that. There it is.
All right.
Big film. Okay. Big film.
All right.
There you go.
Great answers, guys. What is your favorite brand of cookie?
The chocolate chip.
Uh-huh.
The chocolate chip is, that's number one.
I'm a fan of the diabetes. I'm going sugar cookie, Chris.
Just plain sugar.
Just plain old sugar cookies.
My great German grandmother made some dead serious sugar cookies, my friend. You'd have loved them. They'd have put you right into shock.
You're a cookie guy.
Hey, easy.
What do you like?
Oh, you got to go Thin Mint Girl Scout brand, right?
Did your grandmother leave you the recipe for the sugar cookies?
That's a good question.
What are you insinuating? I eat a lot of her cookies still?
If somebody ever gave me a recipe, I'd say thank you and throw it immediately in the trash. I'm not cooking anything, all right?
You don't have a little book with a stitched embroidered Douglas?
No,
the kitchen of Douglas Elvin?
I'm not going to read a cookbook. If I read the directions on something that you throw in the microwave, that's about the extent of it. I'm not cooking anything. I'm certainly not baking cookies.
Wow. Shot at Emerald.
Out of nowhere. You bake cookies?
No, I don't bake cookies. I hate myself so much. I won't buy these things, and then I'll only buy healthy food at my house, So I'm like, okay, it's Monday. Time to kick it back in. So I can lose weight pretty quick.
Yeah.
Muffins are the way to go.
Muffins?
No, I have to come out there and
blueberry?
Say. You know, I like that, and the banana nut, very underrated. Okay. As long as with the lemon poppy seed, I think those three are my favorites.
No, there's some connotations to that.
I had a horrible incident when I tried to cook years ago, when I was in Miami, I never started cooking until I was hungry. You know, I wasn't going to prepare something and cook it for an hour and a half. No, when I was hungry, I was ready to eat right then. Not 20 or 30 minutes from then, but right now. All I had in the refrigerator was this big pot roast. I don't know. It was a pork roast is what it was. I don't know why in the world I had that in my fridge, but that's all I had. So I threw this whole pork roast. It was the size of a badger. And I put it into the stove, and I just cranked up the heat because I was hungry now. I didn't want to wait. So I cranked up the heat, and, of course, about 10 minutes later, it's starting to burn on the outside. I said, it's done. So I took the pork roast out, and I'm sawing through it, and I'm eating, and I'm eating, and I ate the entire—I had nothing else with it. It's just me and this giant slab of greasy meat, burned on the outside, rare on the inside, and I ate the whole damn thing. My stomach bloated. I literally, like the whole pot roast went right to my gut. I mean, I was rolling around. I had the meat sweats. I was sick for like 3 days. I was sick after that. So, frankly, I don't cook much anymore.
just a matter of following instructions, Doug.
There were no instructions on this thing. It was just a slab of meat. Oh, it was horrible. And I ate all of it.
Why are you a lazy American, Doug?
Every last piece of it.
Gosh.
I was so ashamed of myself. I was rolling on the ground.
Vulgar display of gluttony.
Oh, yeah, that's what.
Oh, I've had a ham in the fridge. Just cut a little piece off every time you get hungry, and you feel like a real loser.
The thing I don't like about ham is there's a bone that runs through the middle of it, and when you think you're going to pull off a nice full piece, it inevitably breaks.
Oh, the worst. Hate that. My dogs enjoy it, though. You hate my dogs. But my dogs enjoy a good ham bone.
Oh, I think every dog would, yeah.
Sure,
now
sure.
Now that's the pig's leg.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I've grabbed a couple pig's legs in my day, too. Should you kiss your kids on the lips?
Is that a question?
Trav, you don't speak to your kids. They're in other states.
Don't care for them at all.
Would you kiss them on the lips?
Stop that narrative. I don't have any children.
That you're in contact with.
I don't have any children at all. Why would I? No. The pull-out method has been undefeated.
No kids for either of us, Doug.
No.
What's your thought?
You know, when they're little tiny kids, you can kind of do that—a little peck on the lip. As they get older, you don't.
What about an attractive aunt?
That's not blood related.
Not blood.
Well, that'd be different.
He's married to my. Ola, young Doug's 13. He holds his kisses a little longer with Shelly.
Was this dad's sister or was this the... No.
No!
Doug!
No.
Doug!
No. There's no kissing relatives on the lips.
So no? I've kissed a relative or two on the lips.
There's John Vaughn. He's an adult now, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Working on it.
You love him, right?
Sure.
You would kiss him, right? On the lips?
Barely.
I'm proud of your haircut. Mwah.
I'm not proud of the haircut. I showed you the haircut.
Hitler youth.
Yes.
This is a little off topic, but it came to mind. One of my friends that I grew up with, instead of mom and dad, he would call them by their first and last name, or first name. Like,
ooh.
Hey, Jeff, hey, Mindy, instead of mom and dad.
Ooh.
Have you seen that before? And if so, what is your thoughts on that, Doug?
My youngest smart aleck child calls me Douglas now.
Oh, boy.
Just to be a wiseacre. Yep.
I've seen, I've seen parents... Yeah, I don't know how you accept that one. I'm not a parent, so I don't know.
What if you're Dave the Pipe Layer's kid and he puts $100 bills around his yogurt as he just texted a picture in?
Wow, they just happen to be there.
That's weird.
The yogurt.
That's so convenient.
Uh-huh.
Dad.
I can deal with that.
You don't call your parents by their first names, do you?
If I'm being funny at a moment or something.
What are their names?
Joni and Larry.
Ah, nice. Joni and Larry.
The sweetest people. Right. The sweetest people.
Where are they from?
Bonterre and Deloge, Missouri. They live in Farmington, Missouri.
Wow, farmers?
We've had horses. We've had a farm, but I don't never grown anything. Currently, my dad was in.
You take one of those government checks not to grow anything, don't you? Don't you? I've got a friend who does that too. He's got a plot of land by a parking lot. He said, oh, this is his own farmland. And the government pays him because he doesn't grow anything on the land.
Mm. Why do you hate farmers, Doug?
Get a windmill on that land, man. You'll make a killing. You'll make way more than you would.
One of those big, huge windmills like they have in Kansas?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You should see the money that you get for just plopping that on your land. It's unbelievable.
I realize that.
Like, a staggering number
have
just
ever,
to have
have
that.
Have you ever driven through Kansas on I-70 and seen all those enormous windmills, like, for miles and miles?
Yeah.
And all those guys are making big money off that, right?
It depends on if that's, private or public land. I mean, if it's somebody's land and they're wanting to put a couple windmills, you are going to get six figures easily.
Really? Well, you wouldn't care if it was on your land. It really doesn't take up that much room. I suppose every now and then they got to come and service it, probably.
Yeah, some people don't like it. Some people see it as an eyesore. I would plop 100 around my ranch home in the middle of nowhere. I wouldn't care at all. I mean, they give you good money for that.
Yeah. If it paid enough, I suppose you could just say, all right, we'll take the money and we'll go live somewhere else. If it's an eyesore, we'll keep owning that land and live somewhere where we don't have the eyesore.
Rory Pepperpaws touching base. I'm 27. I still kiss my dad on the mouth. I also have a history of kissing other dads. I might have daddy issues.
Would you kiss
Rory Pepperpaws?
That sounds rather serious.
Ain't nothing wrong. Just grab your son by the head and be like, come here, baby boy. Mwah! Nothing wrong with that. You need to love your kids. Maybe your kids wouldn't be out here doing the drugs and having the sex.
But you don't want your dad kissing you on the mouth.
If he wants to show that he loves me.
Right on the mouth?
Heck yeah. Hey, Papa. Mwah! Love my papa.
Would your dad's a professor at the University of Memphis. Would he do that in front of his kids?
Yeah.
In the class.
Oh, you understand.
A nice peck on the lips.
My dad lives to embarrass his children.
Sure.
They live to embarrass their children.
That's pretty easy to do, too.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Your mom loves embarrassing you.
She does.
She loves, like, oh, that's my baby Chris. She comes up and kisses you on the lip. Mwah, good show with Corolla. I love you.
The streak is intact.
There it is.
I used to walk around West County Mall pantless, and my kids were humiliated.
That would be.
They were teenagers. It just really embarrassed them.
Because of the lines of adult men following you?
Yeah, kind of.
That's even worse. I don't know about that. I love ya.
That's fair. I'm okay with that. A lot of texts coming in. A lot of listener interaction today. I know that keeps Doug on his toes. People are ecstatic that Travis and Chris from We Are Live are here.
Word.
The Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll. It's been fantastic. Doug, your assessment of our answers.
Well, that's fine. You just answer honestly. That's all. There's really no way to assess them.
Chris,
there?
You avoided a lot of the answers. I don't know why.
You want me to knock them out real quick?
No, don't do it. That's okay.
I can answer those real fast.
Timothy and the Cat will be back on Monday.
Yeah. Are you excited about that, Doug? Is it something you long for?
No, I like a break from those two schleppers.
Yeah.
It's like they had their own all-star break. Didn't realize they were selected.
They kind of did.
Every weekend.
I didn't make the team.
You get relegated. Come get some cuts in the minors with the evening show, guys.
Two-thirds of our club were selected all-stars, and guess who gets to stay here?
Gotcha. Okay. Well, now we are pleased to be joined on the appliance discounter phone lines by Mr. Lenny Dykstra, 1986 World Series champ with the Mets, three-time All-Star with the Phillies, and author of the new memoir, House of Nails, available now. Mr. Dykstra, thank you for joining the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Hello, Mr. Dykstra, Lenny Dykstra.
No, he's
not
there.
I thought I'd be a New York Times best-selling author, though.
Mr. Dykstra, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm just, another day above ground is a good day, you know?
Absolutely. Appreciate you jumping on. Lots of great information in the book, House of Nails. You have a storied career, storied post-career. What made you decide to write the book, House of Nails, at this moment?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been approached by a lot of people to write a book before. I wasn't ready to hang my, you know, what out there. And the book, if you're going to write one, you have to do the good, the bad, and the ugly. And
sure.
So I mean, you know, when you get put in a cage for a couple of years, and you're pretty much the next step down is death. So plus, I was reading all kinds of stuff about me that was just BS. So I decided it was time to write, so I talked Mike down and I told him that it's not going to be pretty, you know, but it's going to be the truth. And so, you know, overall, the book, I mean, it's a book about a baseball player, but not about baseball per se, you know. It's really, you know, it was actually the hardest thing I've ever done, but I'm really proud of it because I wrote it myself and I worked my butt off to get there, you know.
Absolutely. And it's, again, such a storied time that you dealt with. So you mentioned that you were in the cage for a few years, your time in prison, time to reflect. And then you said you also didn't appreciate some of the things that you read. Anything in particular stick out that motivated you upon your release?
No, I mean, it wasn't that, you know. People, you always get your haters out there, but you know, what's been the most most amazing thing is, you know, I waited 3 years to do it because I didn't want to be one of like these guys that come out and say I found God, everything's great, and, you know. I mean, I'm still looking, man. I hope he shows up one day, you know. But so I got the time behind me, and that was the whole thing is making sure that I've, you know, coming from a solid place. So that's where I'm at right now.
So what would you say is the main message of the book from your point of view?
Well, I mean, it's all about, see, it was the attitude and the way I went after baseball, you know, win at all costs, do whatever I have to do to win, and keep pushing. It was that attitude that took me from flying around the world in my own jet to ending up in prison. That's the main thing. If people, you know, it's money, you know, money that makes people do different things, you know, and so I became addicted to the money, and it was always the next deal, and always this, that, and, you know, after you go back and reflect on it, it's like, wow.
Sure.
It really did happen. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So you said you became addicted to the money, and I'm sure the above average, to put it nicely, lifestyle. Do you still struggle with any of that addiction to a lifestyle or to drugs, alcohol, any of the such?
No, I've been off so long, and you know, I mean, the feds are pretty solid on that. I mean, you know, they test a couple times a week, but I'm older now, man. I don't have the bullets in me, but so what I'm gonna do now is this. I named this book, or the copyright's called Third Chapter LLC. Because the first chapter of my life went pretty much the way it should have went, and better. Second chapter was, you know, a little rough. But the third chapter hasn't been written yet, so, you know, I'm going to be a strong closer. And like I said, all I can do is look back and learn from what happened. But I don't live back there. You know, I try to move the ball down the field, you know.
You described your steroids use in the book, and you were a very good player before you took that, and certainly you weren't the only one taking it. How much better did it make you when you got on steroids?
Well, it didn't make me know how to play better. I mean, I play the same as I always played. I mean, I hit like I always hit, but what it did is it gave me the ability to stay out on the field each and every day and not wither away, you know. So the reality is I didn't take them because they, you know, they make me, you know, look big or whatever. I strictly took them for business, you know, to make sure I could protect my family.
Makes perfect sense. In your experience, I guess, around the game, and you don't speak for everybody, and I'm sure you weren't aware of everybody taking steroids. In your time and in your opinion, was it leaning towards hitters? Was it pitchers? I mean, we've seen with several positive tests, it's a little bit of everybody. Did you happen to notice? I think the hitters get a lot of the blame, or at least the notice, due to the home runs hit. But Were you aware of many different positions engaging in using steroids?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, it started with the hitters for sure first. So, I mean, I know that. And see, because what happens is players, it's a small kind of world, and word gets out fast about, you know, somebody that's like, you know, looks solid or buffed up or whatever. But what I'm saying is, like, as a player, when you look next to you in the stretch and you know that guy's loaded up on that stuff, and what are you going to do? Like, say he's going to have $30 million and you're just going to, like, be a nice guy? I mean, you're not. You're not getting released and I'm getting a real job, you know? So, I mean, when there's so much money on the line, it makes people make decisions they wouldn't normally make, you know?
You write in the book about the being arrested for the first time and some of the abuse you took, both at the, I guess, at the hands of the police and in jail. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, that's that was crazy. I mean, they indicted and arrested like 30 deputies or something like that. I think 20 of them are in prison, but they even had the LA County Sheriff, the head of the jail. He pleaded guilty, so that was tough, but, you know, the bottom line is it's kind of, I got to take ownership of it because I had so many balls up in the air that, and with the one meltdown in 08, I shouldn't have been affected like I was and pretty much cleaned me out, you know.
Lenny, do you have any regrets, any major regrets from your time after baseball? You were, of course, through a lot of incidents. Is there any particular incident that stand out that you absolutely regret?
Well, yeah, I mean, for sure there is. You know, what hurts the most is what I did to my family. You know, my family is a great family, and
right.
A great mother, and so, you know, I went, you know, my behavior wasn't, they shouldn't have had to be part of that. So all I can do there is, you know, is go forward. And like I said, I talk to my kids every day. And thank God that that's a solid, sound foundation for all of us. But, yeah, that was that's the thing that really hurt the most when you start thinking about that.
I don't know if you saw the story yesterday where Daryl Strawberry came out and said there was times where they were having sex during the games with people. I don't need you to call him out, but was that even possible in a game? Did you see anything like that going on?
No, I mean, it sounds like a movie to me.
It's not a good one. A good
yeah,
movie.
I agree. It sounds like a movie. Some of your life completely sounds like a movie.
I feel sorry for the person on the other end of that, too.
That was some inside information from Lenny Dykstra here on the thing. So Lenny, you've spent time with Charlie Sheen, and you've had recent, I guess, altercations verbally or jabs with Mickey Rourke in the press, mixing in some of the Hollywood aspect of your life. Are you in Los Angeles now?
Yeah, I'm in LA now.
You're out there. So yeah. Living that lifestyle, what brought more craziness or just fun times even? Was it the baseball side of things, or was it the extracurricular stuff you would get into in Hollywood or with some of the famous people you know?
Yeah, you mean about more fun on the field or hanging out with these guys?
Yeah, what brought more, I guess, fun or crazy times to your life?
Well, the crazy times, obviously, we're hanging out with you know, mainly too when I was a Philly. I mean, remember, our Philly team made the 86 Met team look like milk the cookies drinkers, you know?
Is that right?
Yeah, man. We went hard, man. We were, you know, we came from last place to first, and we were on a mission, and we were loaded up, and everybody knew it. So, the bottom line is, you know, at the end of the day, man, you kind of have to make a decision on where you're going to be and what you're willing to risk for your family, and so. It's the money, see. The money is what changes people and makes people again, make decisions they wouldn't normally make. But there's so much money at stake. It's hard not to do it, especially when other players are doing it.
Yeah, and the money just keeps growing every year. The contracts just go through the roof. Do you think guys today are still living as wild and crazy a life as you guys did back in the 80s and 90s? The players, I mean?
There's no way.
No money?
There's no way, I said.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there's no way. Like people used to just say there's got to be three of you all the time. Because I became a chemist, though, you know. I was like a chemist.
You're like a chemist, sure.
Yeah, I could get it right, and it's amazing how I've done day off. I just take a plane and go wherever. But again, it's when it starts affecting your. Playing when you start playing poorly, mm-hmm. Everything gets noticed. You know, it's amazing when you're doing well how everybody kind of looks the other way. You know,
right? Yeah.
In your experience, you said you became a chemist. Are you familiar with Victor Conti and some of the things that he said or that he's worked with? And I guess from that, what did you pride yourself on as being a chemist and getting those things down with steroids and what made it effective? For what were your experiences like? Being in, I guess, the thick of the things that would lead to you making the perfect concoction.
Oh man, it's pretty simple. I mean, it was. That's why it was best. It was always great to play in a dome. You know, like in Houston, you know, we played. It's the East Coast rain delays that will kill you. You know, like having to reload all the time. But you know, we took amphetamines, and more amphetamines and more amphetamines. You know.
Yeah.
No. Makes sense.
So Lenny, where do you see yourself in the future? What kind of goals and plans do you have for the rest of your life?
Good stuff, man. My star's on the rise, man. And you always kind of feel that feel like I did when I was coming out of high school. You know, I'm kind of excited. I'm doing some real estate stuff. I'm doing a few other things, but the main thing is I'm promoting this this book, and I think the book's a good read for people that you know want to read the whole inside trappings and you know it can give people hope too. You know, they can learn what not to do too, The bottom line is it's all out there and it's all true and it's actually there's some humility and there's some you know I have to take ownership of things and you know put it on me. I'm not putting it on anyone else. You know, I mean, I was like kind of like the guy that flew too close to the sun and his wings got melted and so in a roundabout way it was. I was always trying to fly too close to the sun. Eventually, I crashed and burned, and that was about as bad as it gets. I mean, you know, when they hit that door and you're in a box, and I say 6x9, I mean, I mean really 6x9.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, what you do is I read my first book here, you know. I got pretty good. I became ambidextrous too. I was good with my left hand and right hand, by the way.
Is that right?
And with left hand, right hand, read, right hand, left hand, read. And so what else are you gonna do?
Right.
That's Lenny Dykstra.
And you think. Sit there and think. How did I get here? And, you know, you start getting some clarity and you realize you maybe weren't the person you thought you were, you know?
Hey, before we let you go, Lenny, I believe there was an episode of Boy Meets World in the 90s that you were heavily featured on as one of those. Were you aware of that?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it was a TV show in the 90s, but you were a big part of of the fan of that character. So Lenny Dykstra, the book is House of Nails. You can check it out. Buy it now. Lenny, thank you so much. It was a delight to speak with you, sir.
You got it, man. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you,
thanks, Lenny.
Thanks, Lenny.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Lenny Dykstra on the Ryan Kelly Morning
Boy, after. He was a heck of a player. Maybe too old for you guys to remember very
well. No, I remember Lenny Dykstra.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was aware of him.
No, I remember Lenny with the Phillies. I remember his time with the Phillies because that's when we had the two divisions in the National League.
Run through walls.
And
he would.
Yeah, that Phillies team was really good, and the Cardinals would never be able to. In the mid-90s, the Cardinals could hardly ever talk.
When you go from Howard Stern, you come to the St. Louis market's number one show, the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Right.
That was his next move.
I'm surprised we weren't first before Howard Stern. It must have been a scheduling snafu.
There must have. 314 upset with my Boy Meets World question.
Yeah, I didn't know where that was going either.
Me neither.
I wanted to see where it would go.
Yeah, neither did Liz.
I don't know.
I don't think he remembered that guest stint on that show.
I don't know, man. It was 314. It's like Rudy's running around that body and doing interviews out there.
Rudy, yeah.
Is Dykstra Timberfake's dad, Jack Clark's Jock Parks. all kinds of texts coming in. We appreciate everybody tuning in for Lenny Dykstra, the book again, House of Nails.
He kind
of great job, Sea Monster. That is, he is an interesting, provocative guest.
He kind of downplayed the possibility that Daryl Strawberry was having his way with women during the game.
Did you hear the tell he put out there? Wouldn't want to be on the other end of that bat.
Oh yeah. Well, he's talking about the pitching.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
specifically.
Boy, those liners can come.
It's a monstrous home run.
If you're reading the text, I'm reading the comments on the fan page.
Oh yeah, is that right?
They enjoy the interview.
That's how it goes. That's what CMAR does. Whenever we're here,
that's a long way to fall from major league star,
really
multimillionaire to jail. How could you blow it that bad? You have to be. There has to be some substance abuse involved there.
Yeah, and he talked about some of that. And again, a lot of stuff coming in. It's the West Coast. He's up early doing press with us. So
now he has a son.
I don't know.
He has a son in the. I think he has a son in the minors. I think his son was recently drafted a couple seasons ago.
Is that right?
So I think he actually has a son that's and he's a pretty decent prospect if I understand it correctly. So, yeah, he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
But that was a good Phillies team. The John Crook and Dalton and some other boys.
Oh, yeah.
That. Was it Charlie Hayes?
Pat Burrell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Charlie Hayes, what, did he play third base?
I think so.
For the Yankees, yeah.
No, he won a World Series. He was a Philly, too.
No, he was with the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
He caught Mark Lemke's pop-out to end the World Series.
The only dumbass fun fact you know.
Mark Lemke.
Drops that knowledge.
It's something I just keep.
Some things just hang
just
with
thought
you.
Of that.
Remember Mark Lemke?
It only hangs with you if you're really young when you see it, and then you remember things forever.
You really do. Mm. You know what you'll remember forever? LouFest. InsideSTL.com is partnering with LouFest this September to provide an exclusive experience for listeners that includes dedicated bathrooms, a lounge area with outdoor TV streaming the live show and sporting events, private cash bar, yard games, and of course, possible mingling with on-air personalities.
Oh, boy.
Doug, you big Band of Horses fan? That's what I thought. For the same price as regular admission, you can purchase 1 or 2 day tickets through InsideSTL.com on Monday with password. What's the password, Travis? Free donut!
Oh, easy. Whoa.
Sorry, I got excited.
Overmodulated.
With
there.
Some amazing talents hitting the stages. In Forest Park, just his LCD sound system. Chris Stapleton. It's a big name, Doug.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Lauren Hill. Yeah. Band of Horses. The Big Gigantic, and many more. Special Ticket Leak will soon be live for purchase. Spaces available? No, it's limited. Join Inside STL in our exclusive tent at LouFest September 10th and 11th in Forest Park. Bomber O'Brien's will be providing a free shuttle and food and drink specials before and after the show as well.
Really? Free shuttles?
Nice.
You like a shuttle, Doug?
I don't generally need a shuttle because I don't usually drink.
Lenny Icarus.
But I do.
Why do you hate Bud Light?
I do like a shuttle. Llewellyn's has got that shuttle in Soulard taking it to the Cardinal game.
They do. There's a lot of text messages that would actually have you talk about Llewellyn's coming in. What, Travis, what was that? Icarus you were talking about?
Icarus.
Why didn't you toss that out during the interview?
Because I thought that's where he was. I wasn't going to help him. I mean, he knew where he wanted to go with that.
Yeah, he was.
But Icarus was the, that was the bird that flew close to the sun. And
it was a man with wings. Yeah. They were built for him.
Icarus?
Yes, that was what he was referring to.
Referring to Icarus.
Yeah. I've never heard of that.
Flying too close to the sun.
Oh, sure you have.
I hadn't.
You had to read it in elementary school.
I think I missed that one.
No,
really? Maybe I was sick that day.
I don't believe that.
Did you miss a lot of school?
No.
Your parents
no.
rapscallions
never,
themselves?
Never. The first day of school I missed was in like the sixth grade, and we had to leave Wednesday to go to Wichita for Thanksgiving, and I missed a Wednesday before the Thanksgiving break. It was the first day of school I ever missed. I was very upset about it. I wanted to have a perfect record all the way through. I probably missed 4 days between kindergarten and senior year.
Stop. Are you crazy?
Do you think that's
you
about
think
it.
4 days
Maybe.
Only?
Yeah, about that.
Doug.
I didn't want to miss school.
What?
I didn't either.
What about the hot ladies down at the lake?
When I'm 11 years old?
I found a way my senior year. I didn't even play football. I played basketball. I could sign myself out because I had a note signed by my parents and the football coach that said I could run errands. And I could just sign myself out. I wouldn't miss games. Yeah. I wouldn't be in trouble. I wouldn't be charged for it.
I'm about to say, so you went to White Privilege University? That was a good school.
Right?
Good for you.
Oh, you're just mad at the...
Good for you.
You're just mad at my cunningness.
You go run errands? At what age are you running errands?
Well, if you can drive and you're a model student your senior year.
What errands would you run, Chris?
I'd get him McDonald's.
Really?
What you do is you give your parents two options. Yeah. One, you're skipping and you're going to get a parent's note. Or two, you're skipping and there will be a detention or in school.
Right.
And you kind of let your parents pick which one
they want.
Did you
get in trouble a lot, Travis? I didn't get in trouble one time.
Well, I didn't have the option to give my parents options on what they want to go
about. You must not have been a hard enough working student.
This is ridiculous.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Hazelwood East. I was a Spartan.
Oh, right. Yeah, right there on the highway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doug, do you give your kids options when they do something? Like, well, Dad, I'm either going to go out and get drunk or you're going to give me alcohol money.
No.
So?
Not when they're that age.
No. Well, you don't give them options for your punishment.
No.
No, yeah, I don't think so.
Well, you didn't get in trouble in school, did you?
I got in trouble a lot.
You did?
I was a rapscallion.
Doing what?
I would just smack girls on the buttocks.
Why?
Because they had nice buttocks.
That's harassment.
Well, I didn't realize that at the time.
Should have been jailed.
Well, how old were you?
I was probably 10, 11. Didn't know any better.
Did a girl turn around and hit you?
No, she'd be like, oh, stop. And that's probably why the culture is where it is today.
But then in high school, did you get in trouble?
No, I straightened up at that point. And then we had a resource officer, i.e. we had police inside the actual high school.
Police?
Yeah, so the,
we had police at Farmington.
And we had St. Louis County, so anything at that point.
Yeah, but resource officer, that's kind of standard, I thought.
Yeah, it's basically standard in most schools now, a resource officer.
Do kids today get the joy of a good schoolyard fight, or does it get broken up immediately?
Well, here's the thing. Kids are now more cunning in their way of setting up the fights because of social media.
They'll get in a closet or something.
They'll find a part of the school where they know where the resource officer and the teachers or principals
won't
be.
So it doesn't just break out in the middle of the hallway?
No.
My freshman year, my buddy and I are standing by a locker. Something starts getting going. We see somebody right in front of us. And just two 14-year-olds standing at their locker, two senior girls. Well put together,
yeah.
Senior girls.
Okay.
Decided to start scrapping in the middle of the hallway.
My.
Shirts ripped off,
yeah.
Bras ripped off.
Okay.
Of course, there's like a circle of large high school kids around it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Teachers couldn't get to it for like a minute and a half. It was the best. And I'm thinking, high school is going to be awesome.
Lord. How big a problem is that you hear about bad schools and like in the St. Louis area? How big of a problem on a scale of 1 to 10 is just the kids' behavior? How much does that contribute to this being bad schools?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I've
heard different stories.
Would suggest it would be most of the issue. Because if a kid won't sit down and shut up, the education process stops.
But then you look at the leadership, too. It's like, well, if a basketball team or we'll say a sports team is out of control, right? Maybe they're fouling, they're doing stupid things all the time. You look at the leadership, don't you? I would.
Well,
I mean, if you have.
Nowadays, it's hard to punish kids in school.
Yeah, sure,
that's sure.
They take them to the principal's office, and 3 minutes later, they're back in the classroom.
Yeah, and
I had some classes at Kirkwood where, not many, one or two classes, where one kid would decide he was going to make things just as difficult as he could for the teacher nonstop be in a verbal war. And that's the end. That's the end of the class. Nobody else learns a darn thing while all this is going on. If you're in a school district where you have not one, maybe you got four or five kids causing trouble, you don't learn it. You don't learn 2 + 2. You don't learn anything. And if you can't discipline the kids, get them to sit down and shut up and pay attention, you're not going to have any education happening there.
Especially with all the sex going on, too. That's also a distraction.
In the high school.
In the high schools.
I kids knew guys. I played basketball with some guys that went to Vachon. Like, during the crazy, really good Vachon years. I don't know, Jimmy McKinney and Lorenzo Gordon.
Nick Kern.
Nick Kern had an NBA body in high school. That was scary to play against those guys. They, for sure, said students having relations, allegedly, in the school proper. And then plenty of teachers were getting in on the action, too. Were they,
Well, that's the problem, then. It's not that we don't funnel enough money to buy
all our
books.
Or at Vachon. I mean, I'm just
That would be a big reason why the schools are failing. If people don't behave themselves, there's no education going on.
Sure.
If you go to the fancy private schools, nobody's... They're not fighting each
Doug,
other.
Doug, it's the...
There's plenty of fights in private
schools. There's not plenty of fight. There might be an occasional fight. Discipline really is not much of an issue, because if you don't behave, they just throw you out.
It's the school district, in my opinion. It's not the kids or the teacher. But if you don't have the money to hire proper teachers, they're going to leave if they get a better job.
No.
Or are you going to hire teachers that aren't... I completely disagree with you.
It's the kids and the kids' behavior. If the kids don't behave, it doesn't matter what
you're blaming a 12-year-old kid when they have parents and there's adults. And that's just a cop-out.
I'd put it on the parents before I'd put it on the kids.
Well, not once a kid gets to high school, you see if you can control every action your kid does when he's in high school.
There are instances. I've recently had a stint working at a high school here in St. Louis. There is a culture presently where parents are more hands-off.
At a nice high school.
Parents are now more hands-off, so they are more willing to make excuses for their children when a school is trying to discipline their child, and so it makes it difficult because if the parent is undermining a principal or a teacher, it's hard to reinforce any type of punishments or it never gets through to the child. So what I recognize just through my brief experience working in high school is that parents are more looking to be the best friend as opposed to disciplinarian to a child. And that has led to children feeling like they can get away with anything because, hey, if mom and dad don't feel bad about it, then why the hell do my teachers care?
And I think you brought up a bad example of private schools. I mean, are you really trying to compare the two classes of public schools and private schools? Of course, there's less fights in private schools. They're grown up better. I mean, they're raised better. And so it's not the kids' fault.
They're raised to behave themselves.
Yeah, so you just made my point. It's the parent, it's not the kid.
Well, you can't give everybody a free pass. You can have great parents and still have rotten kids.
True.
And you can have rotten parents and have great kids.
I will say this about the private schools. Those kids do sell the best weed. They do.
The best
and
weed?
And some of the best weed. And they sell the best. I tell you, when I have a liaison go out to West County because of the gates to get me some of the best weed, that's where you get it from.
I bet if we had some teachers from some of the rougher schools, they would give you horror stories have to deal with out-of-control kids. And that's the baseline problem, is that the kids won't behave themselves.
We'll get into that and more. Chris Denman, Travis Terrell, we're from We Are Live. Doug Vaughn, this is your show. You're leading the pack.
I'm the one guy who didn't make the All-Star team. That's why I still got to be here.
Quick break. We'll be right back on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.